Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Care to Read. And thanks for joining us this evening. We're glad to have you aboard. We'd like to borrow your airwaves for approximately 60 seconds, and we promise we'll give you your airwaves back to you. And thank you for being a part of this discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that we are underwritten by Project 2019. We are family and consumer science education. We focus on closing the gap of disparity, of ignorance and of bliss, and bringing people to understanding of literacy. And we constantly urge those parents to make sure that they are exposing their children to good literature and good material. And as you know, we have been focusing in on health education. Health education is very important. We like to invite those administrators to come in, those teachers to come in, and those providers and home care instructors, because we have a topic for you this evening that we will be discussing: the pros and cons of adding a year of adding an African-centered curriculum to an urban city setting. The pros and cons, and looking at the African-centered curriculum, how would it benefit the African child, and what would happen, and what would it take to implement an African-centered curriculum? Now, Omi has introduced her own curriculum, and I have a curriculum entitled The Garth Approach. And the Garth Approach, we'd like to introduce you to segments of it by talking to you about the comedic part as well as the spiritual part of the curriculum. And it's what I think would make up a collection of a good curriculum for our African-centered schools. And we do have a guest for you. As usual, we bring on experts to talk about the subject. However, I'd like to pause now, and I would like to get myself cleaned up, and we're going to go to station identification. We'll come back at you in the air, and we'll be ready for our ritual. And as you know, we call the ancestors forth, and we call our elders forth to be a part of our ritual. So we are going to station identification, and as you pause with me, we'll be right back at you in the air. Once again, and we're back. And ladies and gentlemen, join in by saying Ashe. I'm going to ask the audience to say Ashe as we do our traditional ritual. We call on our heroes and sheroes, and we ask our audience to participate with us as we do this ritual. This is an African-centered ritual, and this African-centered ritual is very important. And everyone knows that Ashe means so let it be, so let it be done. I'm going to call out the names of our heroes and sheroes. And as we call out the names of our heroes and sheroes are those who have gone on before us. And we'd like for you to participate in the audience by saying Ashe. Now, the music you hear in the background is to set the pace. Normally, if you were going to have your ritual in your home, you could also have drumming as well. Now, if I could call out the names, please follow along by saying Ashe, please. Frederick Douglass, Ashe.
Ashe.
Jackie Robinson. Ashe.
Ashe.
Langston Hughes. Ashe.
Ashe.
Leontine Price. Ashe.
Ashe.
Louis Armstrong. Ashe.
Ashe.
Malcolm X. Ashe.
Ashe.
Marian Anderson. Ashe.
Ashe.
Nate Turner. Ashe.
Ashe.
Rosa Parks. Ashe.
Ashe.
Sir Jenna Truth. Ashe.
Ashe.
Scott Joplin. Ashe.
Ashe.
Thurgood Marshall. Ashe.
Ashe.
W.E.B. Du Bois. Ashe.
Ashe.
And Zora Neale Hurston. Ashe.
Ashe.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, join in with me as I participate in calling on my individual elders, my personal elders, my mother and my father and my family members. I say Robert Jenkins. Ashe.
Ashe.
Clara Mae Jenkins. Ashe.
Ashe.
Tommy P. Harvey. Ashe.
Ashe.
Marvin Jenkins. Ashe.
Ashe.
Robert Jr. Jenkins. Ashe.
Ashe.
Eugene Lilly. Ashe.
Ashe.
Esalie Pope. Ashe.
Ashe.
Mary Lou Hawkins. Ashe.
Ashe.
Sam Lilly. Ashe.
Ashe.
George Lilly. Ashe.
Ashe.
Michelle Harvey. Ashe.
Ashe.
And for all those ancestors that may have not been called today, that may be en route and on their way and have not made it here yet, and for all those ancestors who are not yet born, I say Ashe.
Ashe.
Ashe. So let it be. So let it be done. Now I pour libations. I pour libations to the east and to the west. I pour libations to the north and the south. And when we pour libations, ladies and gentlemen, it's very important that we acknowledge all four cardinal directions of the earth. And as we pour in libations, ladies and gentlemen, we know that is to summon the ancestors to be present here with us and to give us a bit of their melanin, to fuse us with their melanin that they've left behind, to incorporate their spirits in our household, and to give us the strength. And we know it is our ancestors' shoulders that we mount upon, and because of their shoulders, we are able to stand. We thank our elders. We give acknowledgement to them and pay homage to our elders, and we are initiated. And is there an elder in the house that can give me permission to go on with the service? Is there an elder in the house that can say, yes, go on with the service?
Yes.
Do I see an elder out there?
Yes, go on with the service, please.
Thank you very much. We have an elder in the house. Praise be to the Most High. Ladies and gentlemen, do I have a treat for you? That elder's voice that you heard in the background there was one that we snatched back from the grave. Thank you, Lord. Praise all be to the Most High. That's Maddie Harvey's voice that you just heard, ladies and gentlemen. Maddie Harvey, would you care to say a few words and give us a prayer?
Yes, I would. I would like to thank you all for your prayers, and I'd like to say a prayer for all of us. Our Father, God in heaven, we come with humble hearts and bowed heads to thank you for the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We thank you for your sense of direction as you guide us as we go on. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we give you all praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.
All praises be to the Most High. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the lady that we prayed for. Deborah and I, Deborah Rogers, Minister Deborah Rogers, and I prayed that God would bring her back to us unmolested, strong, and ready to go on. She's got a mind to want to go on. We thank you for that opportunity, and we know it's because of the ancestors opening up the door, making it her way plain and clear, bringing her home again. And we thank you for that opportunity. And ladies and gentlemen, as always, we always acknowledge our flag in this room, the African flag, which is so important to all of us. And if you haven't memorized it by now, you ought to memorize it. Tape it down. Put it on the wall, remember. Here's to this flag of mine, the red, black, and green. Hopes in the future, bright, Africa has seen. Here's to the red of it. Great nations shall know of it in time to come. Red, black shall flow of it. Historians shall write of it. Great flag of mine. Here's to the black of it. 400 million back of it. Whose destinies depend on it. The red, black, and green of it. Old flag of mine. Here's to the green of it. Young men shall dream of it. They shot and shelled of it. Maidens shall sing of it. Waving so high. Here's to the whole of it. Colors brought and told of it. Pleased is my soul with it. Regardless of what is told of it. Thanks to God for giving it. Great flag of mine. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for being a part of that ritual and ceremony. Thank you so very much for acknowledging that you too can have rituals and customs in your home, and you must. It is up to the living to stay in touch with the dead, ladies and gentlemen. And as I bring this ceremony to a close, but not to an end, I am high, I am free. And ladies and gentlemen, at one time, we could not gather together without being molested or harmed. We are free today in our spirit because we choose to be. But we must always remember it takes the ancestors to give us sanctuary and protection. They say our way is dead, is what they say. They say our way is no more. That the Nile Valley exodus all ended thousands of years ago. But we are here, and we remember. I'd like to read that again for those of you who didn't hear me. They say our way is dead. They say our way is no more. That the Nile Valley legacy all ended thousands of years ago. But we are here, and we remember. We remember. My people, the elders of the earth, they are the originators of what is commonly known as Greek philosophy, which is actually the ancient Kemetic way of life. The Kemet refers to the original Nubian Maya culture of Perth, Happy Valley, African. The smell of the African literally means the flesh and the soul of the hidden sun. The more common spell, the African comes from the Arabic word meaning separate, and which means separate, divided, and conquered, like an African Egyptian, is a name imposed on the ancient Kemetic by the foreigners. Always remember, ladies and gentlemen, it is important for you to name and determine the purpose of a thing. It's very important that you should know that certain continents and places like Africa were renamed. It's very important for you to have that authority, to have dominion over the things you name. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you, and I'd like to bring our service down and lower down the music as we go on. And I'd like to stop for station identification and say, this is all designed by God's plan. It is God's attribute that we all possess.
Commitment. Arranged by the author Sherelle Omiyika Bidiako Garth. Commitment is when you've given your word, and your word can stand alone and on its own. It's making an effort when you really don't have the time. It's making ends meet when they really weren't intended to reach. If giving your moral support and backing somehow leaves you feeling lacking because someone failed to give you the backing and you've gone without, then you should know what I'm talking about. Commitment, it's your badge. You should wear it with honor and pride. It's like having good character and integrity is not something that you want to hide. Commitment is paying someone else's daily dues, even if at times you find yourself being used. It's your fingerprints. It's your marking of a real, genuine gent. It's your label that makes you feel able, that leaves you feeling stable, that gives you a clear conscience and a good frame of mind, even when you don't feel able. Somehow, you must gather the strength to become stable. When you've completed a task, you don't want someone to stop and ask, hey man, have you completed that task, when you've given your commitment in the past.
Once again, and we're back, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for lending me your airwaves. And as we get on with the show, I'd like to repeat for you our topic for this evening. Our topic this evening is a question and answering session in addition to what we're talking about. So, ladies and gentlemen, please call in. That call number is 646-478-0270. And our topic for this evening, as I said, is as we consider the needs of the urban children, and considering adapting an African-centered curriculum, what are the disadvantages and the advantages? In other words, the pros and cons of implementing an African-centered curriculum. Now, I will also tell you this much. The African-centered curriculum that I have chosen, that is the Garth approach, this will incorporate comedic teaching as well as spiritual teaching with a combination of materials from Montessori's approach as well. I will be talking throughout this evening about my curriculum and the things that you can find online under Start Jump. As you go to my website, you can see that curriculum. I solely believe in African-centered curriculum, and as you know, that was what the topic was about in our last segment. Without any further ado, we do have an expert in the audience who is here to talk with me about the value of using comedic teaching and curriculum within a school system and the benefits of the families for having African-centered curriculum. And his name is Hotep Ump, and he will be speaking with us from Nuwabian. He is from originally Gary, Indiana. However, he has resided in Chicago, Illinois as well. And I'd like to introduce him at this particular time and say hello to him. He's in the audience. Hotep Ump, are you in the audience?
Yes, I'm in the audience.
Welcome. And again, I say welcome. Thank you for joining us this evening. And as I bring on Hotep Ump, he is also a longtime naturopathic doctor who has worked with various different modalities of treatment. And in addition to being a historian, he has had several opportunities to speak in various different occasions, and I am more than delighted to have him here and on our radio show today. I'm sure as we talk about our subject book this evening and our book for this evening, and don't think that I forgot last time. I didn't give a book last week purposely because I'm going to give two books today. That means extra homework that you have to do. The one book I'm recommending is The Holy Tablets by Dr. Malachi Z. York. And boy, is this some reading. And if those of you who are very studious would get into this book and take the time to study it, you will be so endowed with knowledge. I can't begin to tell you which sections to use. All I can tell you, it is a roadmap. It is an excellent manual to coming into consciousness of knowing yourself. The second book that I am going to ask you to read with that, it comes from the Christian Scientist. It is a regular book in my household, and it's called The Science and Health with the Keys to Scripture. Oh, boy, this is something to behold. This particular book, written and edited by Mary Baker Eddy, she is a Christian Science scholar. This book will guide you through your health problems, your marriage problems, all the way to science of being. working with the footsteps of truth, going all the way into Genesis. This is a very heavy lady. If you've never met Mary Baker Eddy, I'm ready to introduce you to her. If I have the time, ladies and gentlemen, I would dive right into this book and go into depth. But it is a reference book. I caution you and urge you, please study Christian Science and learn about their healing modalities. It is an excellent tool to have within your library. And without any further ado, I'd like to pose a question to our guest today. The benefits, Master Imhotep, the benefits of having African-centered curriculum in your school system, and if there are any pros and cons, can you elaborate on that? And before you do that, I know you normally do a ritual of your own. I'm going to ask you to please endow us with that ritual before you start with your discussion. Thank you.
I would just open with a prayer out of Wapik language. It is from cuneiform language, Wapik, that's oldest language that's been on the planet. So I'll begin. Ya Neturu, Shil Ku Pa Neturu, and Tutin Afa Pa Aun, Al Ku Aun, and Tutin Aheyu Ku Ayu, Ian Afa Hen Ahu Yamud, Wa Amud, Liya Asut Dik Utfa Harus Wu, Tutin Wasit Ku Wagutad, which basically says, O devotees, you are the nature above all nature. You are the above all life. We are here each day and night to say that you all will protect us through all times. I thank you for this opportunity to speak and to address your question. I will be basically coming to a position of evidence and reasoning. So, in answering your question or giving some enlightenment on that question that you asked concerning a African holistic-centered curriculum, it is very important for one for many reasons, but the biggest reason, self-esteem. Far too long, we as a people in our community, we've had to live under the authority of others. We've had to take other identities. If you go back, and experience teaches this, if you go back from 1900 on up to the present day, you will see that we as a people have basically had to go through a metamorphosis. We've had to go from being taken out of slavery to Jim Crow into, I would say, the drug era, and what we have today, which is a total destruction of our people, simply because we don't know who we are, and we're not taught the history as to where we come from and who we really are. We're given in this society three basic religions, and that is Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, or the Judeo-Christian experience. Out of that, this is where we derive our source of authority and our reality. Now, in the whole construct, I have discovered evidence, experience, and reasoning that all came out of ancient Tamaray or ancient Egypt or Kemet, as you would call it. Now, with that being the basis of facts, that is all the major religions and basically everything on the planet is origins out of ancient Egypt, then it makes a lot of sense to go back to Egypt, ancient Egypt, right? We're talking about Egypt in the east corner of the world. In Africa, that's in Africa. So if you're going to have an African-centered curriculum, you have to go back to the ancient Nubians or the ancient Nubans, okay? You can't stop with the Hyksos Kasin, who invaded, and they had a reign, and they had a certain dynasty. You have to go back all 46 dynasties. You have to go back and deal with the woolly-haired, thick-lipped Egyptians that ruled before the Euro-Caucasians came in and took rule. So if you're going to have a African-centered curriculum, you have to include ancient Egypt, and you have to get light on the fact that the nappy-head, woolly-head, pacified people walking around today who are afraid to allow their hair to be in a natural form, the people who think that if they brighten their skin that they can basically get ahead, that's an identity that we've had to struggle to put down in order to basically get where we are today, which is right now we're self-imploding, simply because our young people do not have a sense of identity as to who and what and where they really are. So the African-centered curriculum has to touch on ancient Egypt. And through evidence, experience, and reason, I found that the teachings of Parnes Duel, Amenubi Re'akpath, the Jedi, to you known as Malachi Kopyork, who has put out 360 and more books touching on all subjects of our experience, is a curriculum that need to be addressed and put into the American or African-centric curriculum, because without it, you're doing our people a disservice, because you have many movements. You have the Black Muslim movement and their curriculum. You have the Hebrew American movement and their curriculum. Okay, so Parnes Duel, Amenubi Re'akpath, the Jedi, Malachi Kobani York, should be placed in terms of a curriculum. His work should be added to that curriculum. His work should be looked upon because they open up the genetic code in our mind explode when you hear readings and the things of Malachi Kobani York. And you would have to experience. One of the books is the Holy Tablet. That was a school, and right now, to get the actual facts and get with some of the mirrors, where the Nuwabians are, would be a very good thing. And by the way, Wunuwapu simply means your link back to nature, okay? Reasoning.
Brother Hotep, I had a question. I had understood you to say that what you're proposing is not another religion, but primarily it is a science of nature, reconnecting us back to our own. So then would you also say that you are not proposing that we bring in a religion versus state, but connecting us back to nature, so that this curriculum would then fit into a good scientific category of education?
It will point you in a different direction. So in that different direction, I would say that, no, we're not about religion. This is not a religious, this is an organization, okay, organization of people who are working toward a natural way of being, getting back to our natural essence. That's who we are. That's where we come from. When you look at Africa, the indigenous Africans, way before the turn of the century. If you go back before 1400, if you go back to the year one, indigenous Africans and the Egyptians lived in balance with nature. If you go back to the time before we migrated to the northern cities, just after we got out of slavery in 1864, 1865, between 1865 and 1965, let's say the 50 years between 1864 and about 1900, we lived in an agrarian society where we had to, what, grow our own crops. We didn't have the medical centers that you have today, so we were close to nature, thereby making us a different people then than we are today.
Now, brother, excuse me as I insert. Most people are, the conscious-minded people, are now looking to cohabitate in a different setting. They're looking to homeschool their own children now. to become sustainable and grow their own crops. And some of them have even ventured to get a passport to leave the United States to see fit to go to other worlds and try to adapt that and make it their own. Do you think that in order to implement a lifestyle like this that we're going to have to leave the United States to do that, or can we make this happen right here on our own land and ground?
Well, if the United States, what are you doing to the other? If you leave the United States, what value do you have to the country you're going to? You're already in the country now, okay? So logic would say, why don't you upgrade who you are and what you are and what you have to offer before thinking about leaving? Because if you left now in the present state, if just say 10 million black folks left America, what are their value now in America and what is the value that they would take to Africa? You don't want to go to Africa with your hand out. You want to go to Africa having something to give, something to contribute.
And on that note, you made a good point. What are we going there for? And I want to ask you, in your opinion, what is the value of education for an African-American child? What is the purpose of education? Why do we educate?
Well, the education for an African-American child now should be centered around that it is an education for all the right reasons. Because when I say all the right reasons, you have to educate the African-American child today in this particular center, knowing who they are, where they come from, and their ancestors and where their ancestors came from. In that teaching alone, the self-esteem and the pride and a lot of the disagreeable acts will fade away in that process. That process has not truly been attempted, simply because we've had makeshift processes at the hands of European that really don't have or know our true experience or have our true intentions to rise up as we're supposed to rise up, because that is a command from the Most High. So right now, a lot of people are playing with a universal judgment and damnation simply because we're the first people of the planet, okay? We are that civilized the planet. We are the people, and I'm speaking from experience evidence right now.
And brother, I certainly do concur with you that we are the first people to civilize and socialize the world. In my studies, I found that there was no Greek philosophy, but rather African philosophy. We were the first to give reasoning to the world. And if we are the older generation, so to speak, we are the mother exponent of the world, then it is only obvious that we have produced illegitimate children and children that may also have gone astray. And as they go astray,
well,
it is up to us to bring them back into position.
Wait, when you say illegitimate, then I have to ask the question, what is legitimate? And when you give me what is legitimate, tell me what source of authority makes that legitimate, and then we can have that discussion.
Well, for lack of better words, I would not say illegitimate. I'll say degendered children who might have been blemished of some kind, and meaning that in producing them, that they were hybrid, in other words.
Okay. See, this is the perspective. And that is this, and Malachi Kobani Yor, Panazuru Amenu Riakpath Djeti has said that, and you'll find this in the Holy Tablet, that if there is a plan, if you're going to have a plan, it has to be a plan that's good for all the people everywhere. And when you have a plan like that, you have success for everyone. Now, what I mean by that is,
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
Simply because let me give you an example, okay? In the recent financial debacle, if you had $700 billion that was given to banks, you could have taken that money and given it to 100 million head of households, okay? That would come out something like, I don't know, $180,000 per head of household. That would have stimulated the economy right there. But the bigger focus is this. All right? There has to be parity in terms of self-esteem. You cannot give one group high self-esteem and then demoralize another group and think that you're going to have a balanced and right country.
I certainly agree with that, and right knowledge would tell us that we certainly cannot show partiality. Let's get back on the subject, ladies and gentlemen, back on the topic. We're talking about rearranging, reordering our curriculum for African-American children, for African-centered curriculum. My question on the floor to you, Dr. Imhotep, is African-centered curriculum inferior to other curriculums, or is it equal to?
Is that a question that you're posing to me?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Would you ask that question again, please?
Is African-centered curriculum inferior, or is it equal to any other curriculum?
Well, it depends on how you're evaluating it. Okay, if you are an Irishman, how are you going to evaluate that? If I'm a Nawabian, I'm going to say, oh, that's beautiful. Are you going to include the things that happened in ancient Kemet? Are you going to include the true record of what happened? Are you going to tell American Negroes that you're not Negroes, you're not African Americans, but you are part of the Kemetic order of ancient Tamilaré Egypt? Because if you look on the walls of Egypt and you look at a lot of the archaeological digs, you will see people that look like the people in your inner cities. You would say, whoa, that looks like my cousin Barbara. Oh, man, that looks like John going there. Okay? So we have a big disconnect from one of the biggest archaeological digs of the world, and that is ancient Egypt. They don't identify the ancient Egyptians with those souls that have been here in North America called the lost children, okay? We are the descendants of the ancient Egyptians, as well as other tribes throughout the African diaspora.
Oh yes, and no doubt, my brother, we are the descendants. We are it. That doesn't make us greater, any better.
No, it doesn't. No. We are suffering from a self-esteem problem in our community, which is a psychological sickness. As they say in the psychological community, we have a psychosis that needs to be addressed, okay? What needs
right.
to be addressed right. is simply tell our young children who they are. Now, if I can put George Washington on a dollar bill, I'm just giving you some examples here, okay? Why can't we take a curriculum and teach the fact of what the Honorable Marcus Garvey did,
okay.
teach the fact
let
of who Imhotep really was.
Brother Hotep, let me back up a minute because one of the things we probably needed to define for the listening audience, I think we've said this in this room before, that one has to understand what goes into a curriculum. We have a lot of people who are not curriculum endowed or familiar with the context of standards. You have standards to meet when you make up a curriculum. And part of the problem why we haven't gotten very far in developing an Afrocentric curriculum is we have a lot of people that don't have curriculum backgrounds. The standards have to be implemented, and in implementing the standards, you must make sure that you have a core curriculum. And as I looked at the curriculum and was immediately told that this curriculum initially was designed for white male empowered to be a self-esteem curriculum for white male in power and who preferably owned slaves. And when they first created that curriculum, they had intended for men to carry out the curriculum, not females. So it wasn't user-friendly for females or African-American children. It has not been changed. It has gone through a whole century or more of utilization. And when you go back to look at the history and then rewriting the history, there's been several archaeologists and historians and folklorists who have ventured to rewrite history.
Let me finish, brother.
That's part of the problem is that the history portion, they can't agree on who will write the history and whose perspective will it be coming from. If we are to write a curriculum for our own black children, Brother Hotep, whose perspective do you think it should come from?
It should come from us. And more importantly, because I have brought to you evidence, experience, and reasoning, I have to tell you this. that Malachi Kobani York, his volume of work is a curriculum in itself. And you won't know that unless you have attempted to have read the volume of work or have experienced his work, okay? So my evidence, because I've experienced his work, right, I know of his work, and my reason why I use this model, evidence, experience, and reasoning, is because we as a melanated people, one of the greatest powers that we have on the planet is reasoning. And that can be proven through experience, because a lot of your great leaders have always sought out the reasoning power of a melanated man, okay? Experience, well, our experience in following European curriculums, look at where we are today. That spells it all. Should one of us, meaning us, I'm speaking, when I say us, I'm talking about someone who is deeply embedded into the raising up of the melanated person, a person who is committed to raising up the self-esteem of the black community. And that may have to come from those who are in position to jump into a curriculum situation and take the bull by the horn and actually start to do it. I mean, we can't go,
Let me ask you a question. Now, the Jewish went about this in an orderly fashion, in and of the fact that they have created their homeschools on Saturdays for families. One of the problems for African Americans don't really realize is that you can do all the things in the world you want to sell, but until you raise up a village in the home, you haven't done anything. And if we're going to take a lesson from them, the homeschools on Saturday to educate, to have that curriculum of the history put in the homes, so you educate the parent first, so then it will actually be implemented in the home. What I found is that most of the African-centered program must have a component of an after-school or Saturday program for the parent as well. The average parents that come into school, they are illiterate when it comes, they're culturally illiterate when it comes to their culture. And you have to definitely educate the child simultaneously as you educate the parents about their culture. And what has happened in the past, we have literally found that most of our parents that come in, they're astonished when they find out about the ancient dynasty themselves, which they have not been taught. Some of the districts have gone as far as to remove, our history didn't start in 1842 or 1862. That is not the inception of our history, and nor is Adam and Eve the inception of our being. So some of these lies have got to be corrected so that they will know the inception of the African and how the African came to be the Twa people, and how the Twa people, came from a southern civilization, and how the training came about in ancient Egypt, because there it is right there. The ancient Semitic training was so vast and so well put together that as we examine it now, it's still one of the seven wonders of the world. If we could easily adapt those curriculum, we could probably put together a remarkable curriculum and do the same thing it did in the ancient days.
Well,
I would say that
what you're saying has some correctness to it, but I would say, get the likes of a Dr. Ray Hagen and get the likes of Malachi Kobani York, all right, to sit down and go over his volume and what Dr. Ray is speaking, and maybe you could forge ahead with a curriculum that can be implemented by private schools, public school systems, because it's going to take the awareness of the powers to be. Now, this is a challenge, and this is a test.
I'm glad you put that challenge out there.
Because if the powers to be are anti-black people rising up for self-esteem purposes, then now we have a problem. And the problem being this, if you have your foot on my neck, or if you're holding me down, then you're down there with me. This country and this world cannot progress until we receive the proper due that we must get. Now, that's not saying, oh, please, Master, give us something. No. Get out of the way. and allow us to establish our curriculums and put the people that we know should be put in positions to implement the curriculum. Because it's obvious, look at the Chicago school systems, okay? And there are many other inner city school systems that are failing our children. So, parents, not about the teachers. It's about the curriculum writers. It's about the administrators. It's about the parents. Parents have to take the initiative to go and find a Nuwapian mirror and sit in newcomers' class and get learned. And if you don't like that, then make the comparison. Go to the Nation of Islam. Go out to our black centers and make your comparisons. Deal with the sound right reason that comes to you from wherever you go to get educated so you can educate your children. The parents are not doing enough conscious reaching. That's where it has to start. And then they, the parents, tell the elected officials what curriculum they want.
But then, in Hotep, you hit it right on the head, brother. You couldn't have said it any plainer. It is really an issue that pertains to the parent. If we were to fill these corridors, it should be with parents first, because they are the first teachers. And in educating them, I no longer say it takes a village to raise up a child. I say it takes a parent to raise up a village. So we've got to do a better job of educating those parents about who they are and knowing thyself. Now, let me try to focus in on a little bit about the Garth approach. And most of you know me in this room. I am definitely African-centered. However, I am willing to touch upon curriculum that is going to be beneficial for all of us. And what is really missing in the African curriculum is a spiritual understanding of the spiritual self. And that has been void for so long. But you can go in any other European curriculum, such as Rudolf Steiner, and find that spirituality is at the center core of the curriculum. That program fares so well because it reconnects you to nature, reconnects that child back to self, and truly they do have a self and a spirit. So in the Garth approach, what we've heavily put in the curriculum is a core center of spirituality and doing a whole program on relevating peace and spirit within the child. So the most important thing is the center of the child. The child is in the center of the home, in the center of the school, and his spirit must be tapped into. He must be allowed to explore his spirit so that he can grow. Because when you allow a child to process, you have given him a chance to reason and to incorporate any problem or any situation and make the decision along with his ancestors and spirit assisting and aiding him. We help him, in other words, to grow into a God. And ultimately, our whole objective is to press God forward because he exists in all of us. He is on all of our heads, and we call that head Ori. If that child is to have good success, if he is to reason well, he is to pay homage to his head.
So my sister.
If a child, let me finish my point, I'm on a roll here. If a child cannot process on his own without his omi or his teacher in front of him, if he cannot go on stage and perform without someone coaching him, it becomes rote learning. The child must be able to stand on his own and reason internally about situations and allowing and depending on his spirit to guide him. And we are not preparing children to be guided by spirit, and that is part of the clinical problem we're having in the schools today. A child is so unsure, even the information he would be sure of, he becomes a second guesser and a double-minded individual because he's not sure what the world expects of him. I'm trying to create with children with self-reliance, with sustainability, and children who can critically think on their own, because now, at the age of 12 years old, most children are being called upon to be full-fledged adults in their home. Like it or not, parents, they are functioning in the home as individual parents. Some of them are rearing their own brothers and sisters. And if school is going to do what it's supposed to do, it's supposed to help bring them into a oneness of self so they can explore self, become initiated, and make proper transition into manhood. Part of our children don't even know what properly makes a man and don't know when they're transitioning into manhood. That's the question I want to ask you, brother. What about a rites of passage program?
All that is...
Does this program have a rites of passage program that you're referring to?
Absolutely. You have to get into the body of work. Rites of passage is this. Okay, many are not ready for this level of what I'm getting ready to say, because what I'm getting ready to say is not a degrading of anyone's religion. But, again, we're dealing with evidence, experience, and reasoning. You asked about a rite of passage. Well, until you get into the body of work, you have to go through the school of Christianity. You have to go through the school of Islam. You have to go through the school of Judaism. Now, those are schools, okay? And the reason why I say that is this. We have been, for at least 100 years, in the school of Christianity as a people. We are not Christians from genetics. We're not Christians from origin. We were forced into Christianity, and this is a forced-upon religion on us. We're not even Muslims from that perspective, nor even Hebrews. When you go back to our beginning, okay, because what you're saying is asking this question. And the question is, do we challenge the establishment for our own identity, or do we allow them to keep giving their identity to us? This is the issue here. Make no mistake about it. And to keep a people in control, worship in my image, I have you. I can't give you your own image. So, that's why I said earlier, the powers to be. Are you going to allow these nappy-head, woolly-head Negro people to have their identity, or do you keep them into your identity? Now, experience teaches us that because we started off with woolly hair. Where are we at now? We're so turned against that until we have a self-esteem problem. We don't appreciate nappy hair. That's just one little item. That's not even talking about the curriculum that should be about the first dynasty of Egypt.
Now, brother, if I could ask you, if we can get away from the woolly head, brother, for a minute, if I could ask you, in looking at this whole general picture here, you have a child who grows up in a community not liking himself, and he internalized that, and the self-fulfilling prophecy sets in. If the child is melanin enriched and has melanin, can the melanin be damaged at any point? And do you believe that the children who are the crack cocaine babies, do you believe that their melanin can be damaged to the point of irreversible, where they are so damaged that they're malignantly functioning because of the melanin infraction because of the cocaine and crack in the neighborhood?
Well, tissues can be damaged. Tissues can be damaged and blood can be damaged. But also tissue can be regenerated and blood can be regenerated. So until we get into our natural health perspective, that's another class and that's another conversation. Okay.
I realize that. I really do.
Yeah, we can repair that, and we can repair that from the first start with truth.
Well, what about intelligence? Do you believe that intelligence can be based on the melanin within a person, and does melanin have anything to do with the intelligence level of an African-American child?
Actual facts can cure those that have been lied to, because actual facts lead you into a truth. Because those that have been lied to are suffering from the self-esteem. Those that have been lied to think that there's someone else when they're really the original. Actual facts will lead you into truth. Because remember, we're dealing with evidence, experience, and reasoning. That's my motto for today's conversation, and I'm judging and basing what I'm saying off of evidence, reasoning, and experience. Okay? So, yes, we do need an African-centered curriculum, okay? We need that curriculum.
And, brother, what I want to say to you is that this has been an excellent exchange. And, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to get that number out for those of you who have questions. Please come in with your questions. We'd like to entertain them. That number is 646-478-0270. And we have Brother Imhotep in the room discussing the benefits of African-American children receiving African-centered curriculum up under the Imhotep process of looking at New Wabian's curriculum. And call in with your questions. We'd love to talk with you, love to exchange with you. I'd like to say one thing on that note. As being a retired teacher, I am looking at the situation from the outside now. However, my solutions can be better perceived. Sometimes it's better to be on the outside in order to see from a different perspective. I see where African-centered education could benefit our boys. I have written a manuscript on the effects that females have on African-American males. I have interviewed Dr. Lyola Africa, Dr. Jawaza Kanchufu, along with many other men in reference to what it takes to correct our black males' problem in the school system. I did relate to you before that females are the missing conspiracy here, that we are the conspirator. We carry out the curriculum. Unbeknownst to us, we are carrying out a curriculum that could be damaging, and we must look at how we can sit in the boardrooms and offer some type of excuse or give some type of instruction to the staff that, yes, this is hurting the child. We need to remove this, and we have to go in these curriculum-centered programs, and we have to speak up because year after year, because curriculum is cheaper, and because sometimes we have an inlay with a friend we bought curriculum from, we don't want to change. We continue to deliver depth to a department, to a whole school system, because of us failing to be able to change that curriculum. It doesn't take that much to change a curriculum. It could gradually be changed. And there have been several curriculum specialists to infuse curriculum into many different schools where they started the process, and a lot of people felt that they would take away jobs from other people. So for the benefit of not taking away those jobs, they refused to implement those curriculums. I can't begin to tell you how many times that has happened. However, those choice schools and those charter schools, they can walk in with their own developed curriculum. Right in Milwaukee, where the school system were able to hand over to them the choice program, those people walked in with their own curriculum that were African-centered that they designed. They were not attached to any university or any program, and they had no allegiance to anyone. So therefore, they were unmolested in carrying out those curriculum. Those same things can be done here in various different states in the area of Indiana as well. Our schools are suffering because the children don't see themselves in the scheme of things in the curriculum. They're standing on the outside saying, I don't want that curriculum, enough is enough. Now, as a curriculum specialist, I totally employ those districts to have programs for black males. Even if you have to give them 2 or 3 hours a day, pull-out programs, they must learn how to matriculate into a male. They must learn how to transition from one level stage to the next. They must be able to understand what makes them into a man. A woman should not be instructing them throughout the school year. A woman should not be telling a young man anything at a certain point. Only iron can sharpen iron. A woman needs to move out of the way to let a man be a man. It is very important that we rapture our black males back. It's very important that we not only rapture our black males back, but we have to get in there, women, and show them the benefit of a better curriculum. Now, my curriculum, the Garth approach, is a strong curriculum. I'm still working on it. It will be a part of my book, and it will be a supplement that you can use to implement. Now, the reason why I said Montessori as a part, because you do not teach a child anything. In my 35 years of teaching, I never taught a child anything. What they needed was already in them. I merely adduced the knowledge in them by setting the environment, by encouraging them, and pulling out what was already in them. That is why you see children with different abilities, because some were gifted and some may have not been. But all has the ability to, and desire to want to learn. I have never met a child that did not want to learn. When the environment was set to call forth that learning, and if I called it forth and used the proper tools to call it, I could get a child to learn. You could get a child to learn. But you got to get up off your high horses and stop talking about I got mine, now you get yours. If you're going to be a teacher, then you got to get out there and be an advocate. The child teacher is the first advocate. The parent is the first teacher. And the child will come to you already trained how to learn. In most cases, you have to take what they bring from the ghetto and use the best thing they have to bring you. No matter how limited it is, you must use that which he has learned from and his regularized code to help him get into the mode of learning. You are not going to do this by yourself, teacher. You will need the men to work with you. Everything the Africans do, they do it in duality, not alone. And once we realize that we can get on board and we can make this thing a successful thing, and I'm talking to you two Eurocentric people, we're not trying to exclude you. We want to teach you how to teach our children. Let us be the mothers for a change. You are the children. Let us be the mothers for a change and show you how to implement curriculum for our black children. Not that you don't have the ability. We want to show you. Give us a chance. Let us show you that we do know how to raise our children. We do know how to implement good curriculums. And we are available. We're making ourselves available. And tell them, Omi said, let your light shine on the world. When you look those children in the eye, hold their little faces and tell them you know why they came. You know what their potentials are. And you know that they have the ability to strive. And with our success in pulling together with every nationality, every race of people, every denomination, we can do it. I know we can. I want to thank our guest today, Brother Inhotep. Thank you so much for being here with us to share that knowledge. And we're on our way out of here with a success song. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. We'll be here tomorrow. Pray time.
Breaking the chains of love. Together we can do it. Yes, we can.
Oh, yes, we can. Yes.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us this evening. Thank you very much for your input. And we urge you to come in the room and to be a part of our show. We invite you back tomorrow at 6 o'clock at 646-478-0270. Lock that dial in. Keep it right there. Keep it right there and lock it in. Make it permanent. And once again, we like to ask for a final word from our guest speaker, Brother Imhotep. What do you say, Brother Imhotep, for our African people? Are we going to have to join together with all denominations of people to make this thing happen? Brothers locking arms with Europeans, Indians, Native Americans. What do you say?
Well, I say this. Those that are the sickest need to heal first, and we need to heal our community. And my last words are this. Use the model of evidence, experience, and reasoning. Use that to navigate through these troubled times, these mentally emotional troubled times. Evidence, experience, and reasoning. Use that as your navigating tool and find
truth. And we will definitely use that as our navigating tool to find truth and find them with our brothers and sisters, not alone, but we can do nothing in our own strength. We're not locking any race of people out. Any denomination, any religion, it's going to take all of us. But we can't come with the selfish idea that it's only our solution that will change things. We are going to bring a vast of interesting things together to make the change. And we're going to make that change, as Michael Jackson said. When we look at the mirror and see that it's not all about us, we're going to have to come together as one people. Success breeds success. If I succeed and get better in life, you will get better in life, as the African says. And I want to remind you, it no longer takes a village to raise up a child when the village is empty and nobody's home. I don't want to have to say, Naka, who's there, when there's no one at home. We first must take a parent to raise up a village. Then we have someone there to train up the child. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget about the Care to Read room. Come in and patronize us. We're friendly. We are open to all people. We invite all denominations, all religions. We don't cater to any one person, and neither are we racist to any particular person. We love you, and we say Ajuba. We say blessings, and may the Most High make his light shine upon you, and may he give you his peace. And on that note, I say, oh, bravo. Have a great evening, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy your day. Bye-bye.